It's so good to see all of you. It's always great to be in the house of God. It's always a privilege for me to share. So I never take it for granted. So thanks for being here. Otherwise, I would have spoken to empty chairs. It wouldn't have been the same. So I want you to have a look at this picture. It's a gift box. Okay? It's a gift box, and I want you to think about a gift that you've received in the past. It was a great gift. Anything. You know, the first expensive gift Andre ever gave to me. And I asked him permission to tell the story, okay? So don't worry about the content. We had a habit of every time after church, when we were still students, and even after I started working, even after we got married. We haven't done that in a while, but we had this habit of just making fried eggs on toast after Sunday evening service. That was our meal, okay? And when I started working, Andre was still in hostel in Stellenbosch. So he would come to my flat and we would make fried eggs on toast. And, you know, I could clearly see that he was not so impressed with the frying pans we had. Maybe you see where I'm going to, but in any case. And then for my birthday, in my first year when I started working, Andre is very, very excited because he's presenting this gift to me. It was a surprise to me. I didn't see it coming at that stage. But, you know, he was very excited about this gift. And he was presenting this. Do you want to guess? Very expensive Bauer pan. Okay, it is expensive. It must have cost him a lot of money at that stage. And, you know, I didn't really know what to think about this because it's a pan, you know. And, you know, I was a bit caught by surprise. I didn't know, was I supposed to now be like happy, or what do you do with a kitchen utensil, you know, for a birthday present? But that was still, you know, I'm very gullible. For those of you who know me, I'm very gullible. And I honestly believe the gift was for me. I honestly just believe he wanted to buy me a pen. I don't have proper pens, and, you know, he bought me this pen. And later, I discovered this man just couldn't, you know, the eggs was just not right on a Saturday night. It was just not right because whatever, I can't even remember the pans we had, but it was not in a good condition. So he just said to me, "Sonika, we're going to have the most wonderful eggs now on Sunday evenings." So that was the first expensive gift. And I remember he told his mom, he thought it was really an amazing gift, you know. And he told his mom, "No, mom, I bought Sonika this Bauer pan for her birthday." She looked at him. She said, "What did you do?" But in any case, I think all of you have stories, you know, about gifts in relationships, especially sometimes buying the right gift, sometimes buying the wrong gift, and sometimes just, you know. But a gift is great. Again, even if it's a Bauer pan, it's great. A gift is just awesome. And, I mean, there's all of you are in a relationship or maybe married, you'd know the book, The Five Love Languages. How many of you know that book? Okay, quite a few. It's all about, there's five different kinds of love languages, okay? Get the book. If you're in a relationship or planning to get married, or maybe if you are married, get the book. Just refresh your memory. But there's five love languages, and one of them is gifts. So if your wife or the woman in your life, if the path to her heart is through gifts, start saving, men. But that is a love language. It's not necessarily your love language, but I can tell you, all of us appreciate a gift. All of us get excited about like something in a box, you know, especially if it's nicely wrapped, and it's just awesome to receive a gift. And I want to take you to a scripture in the Bible, because just before Jesus was crucified, he explained to his disciples that he must go away. And they were very sorrowful. They couldn't understand it. I mean, just imagine walking a road with this most amazing man for 3 years, and now he tells you he's going away, you know. And they didn't understand it. They didn't understand this whole crucifixion thing. They really thought Jesus is going to become this king. And so they couldn't understand it, but Jesus said to them, I'm not only going to go away, I'm going to leave you a gift. And tonight, what I want to do is, I want to open this gift with you. Because I think many of you have never opened the gift that Jesus left us. It's still, you don't really know what it's all about. You may be a little bit afraid to open the box. Or maybe you have opened the box, but you haven't read the manual. So you don't know what to do with it. Or maybe you've read the manual, but the manual is still not making sense. Okay? Or you've read the manual, it made sense. You know everything about this gift, but you've put it on the shelf because you don't really see the need, or you don't really understand why it's so important to use it every day on a regular basis. Okay, so what I want to do, I want to open this gift for you tonight, and I want to explain to you how precious this is, this thing that Jesus left us, and also I want to explain to you how necessary and how important it is not only to read the manual, understand the manual, but also to use the gift. Not to put it on the shelf, not to take it off every now and again, but to apply it, to use it every day of your life. Okay, so are you ready to open the box? Are you? Great. Let's go to John 14, verse 16 and 17. For some of you, everything I'm going to say tonight is probably going to be old news. Old news. Can news be old? People say you can't say old news because news is news. News is always new, but in any case, ignore that. For some of you, you're going to know everything. You're going to think, oh, Sonika, really? I can tell you a couple of things. But I want you just to open your heart, you know, because God showed me very clearly, basically a month ago, started talking to me about this gift that Jesus prayed that the Father will give us. And I'm going to take you to the scripture now. And God just started all over again making me aware of the importance and how precious this is. So let's go to the scripture, John 14, verse 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, that's Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and He will give you, there's the gift, He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. I will pray the Father, He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. Now, Jesus did not only give us a helper, He prayed that the Father will give us another helper. And I want to show you tonight the meaning of that word another and the meaning of the word helper. Because I was just amazed again, you know, when God showed me this. So let's go to the word another, because that's the gift, okay? This is the package, another helper. Okay, we're opening the box. In the box is another helper. Another means another of the same kind, one besides me, that is Jesus, one besides me and in addition to me, but one just like me. And listen to this, He will do in my absence what I would do if I were physically present with you. Now, how many of you have ever thought, if only Jesus could have been here right now? How many of you have ever thought like that? 3, 4, 5, 10, great. I make an assumption that all of you maybe somewhere in your life thought, if only Jesus could have been here right next to me, that I could have asked Him, Lord, should I take this job? Should I marry this girl? Should I study this course? God, what should I do? Can't you just like sit next to me? Can't we have coffee? Can't we go for coffee, Jesus? Or somebody is sick and you just feel, if you know, if Jesus could have just been here. And the amazing thing about this gift is, this gift, another helper, will do in Jesus' absence. He will do exactly what Jesus would have done if he was here. I want you to click this tonight, okay? Jesus didn't leave us orphans. He duplicated himself in such a way that all of us can have coffee with Jesus every day, you know? And if you go to the word helper, the Greek word is parakletos, and the word signifies an intercessor. You know, it's so amazing when somebody prays for you, when they really pray for you. Not, oh, I'm going to pray for you, and then that person forgets. And then you think, did they really pray? But it's so great when people, when you know somebody prayed for you. It's amazing. It signifies an intercessor, somebody praying for you, a comforter. You know, holding you when you cry, all the girls, holding you when you cry. Comforting you in a time of need, in a time of trouble. I mean, we all go through times where we are sorrowful, hey, when we need comfort. That is this gift that Jesus gave us. Helper, you know, an expert giving us help whichever way we need it. In your workplace, in school, in sport, in decisions we need to make. I mean, helping you, helping us. An advocate, you know, somebody fighting for you. So often we think, oh, I wish just I can have somebody who's standing up for this thing that's so important to me. You know, somebody who's like very talkative and, you know, can stand their ground, and they're going to fight for me for this thing because I just don't feel as if I can do it myself. This is the gift that Jesus left as an advocate, somebody who's excellent in just fighting for you. And a counselor, giving us advice, guiding us. You know, this is the Spirit of Truth, another helper, somebody just like Jesus, in addition to him, but just like him, that will do in his absence what he would have done if he was physically present here with us tonight. I mean, isn't that amazing? You know, I can think of many things that God has given me, but this gift that I have received, the Holy Spirit, cannot compare to it. Nothing can compare to that, to this, because it's also not something that you get to know him all the time. It's just if you open the box all over again every day and you discover more and more and more inside, that it's new and it's fresh every day. So maybe you say, okay, what? How do I now receive this gift? Okay, this is now a gift. Jesus left it to us. Okay, I don't want you to miss this, so I don't want you to be distracted. How do we receive this gift that Jesus left us? We received it by something called baptism in the Holy Spirit. And as I say, for some of you, this is very familiar. For some of you, it's going to be new. Andre touched on this, but 3 weeks ago when Dane also shared his testimony, it's something additional to salvation. Okay, it's something that's part of the birthing process as a spiritual baby, but it's something additional to being born again and giving your life to the Lord. Okay, and I'm going to show you today. I'm going to show it in Scripture. And even though you can give your life to the Lord today, and directly afterwards you can be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but it's two different events in your life. So let's have a look at Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. I'm going to show you quite a few scriptures tonight, so if you can just stay with me. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them, that is Jesus, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, listen to this, to wait for the promise of the Father. And that promise is the one in John 14, verse 16, where he said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. So that is the promise that they had to wait for. to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days from now. So that's that. There it is in the Bible, baptized in the Holy Spirit, receiving the promise of the Father. And, you know, I just want to say as well, just to make it practical, before you get married, marriage is this thing. You, all of us want to get married. It's a godly desire. It's great. But before you get married, it's this thing, you know, it's this far off thing that you do not really know what it's all about. You have this desire to be married one day, but you do not exactly know what it's all about. Okay, you can read books even, but you don't know. But once you are married, you can't imagine your life without that person ever again. It's life. This is then normal. When you're not married, marriage is not normal because you're not married and you do not know what it's all about and you do not understand it. But how many of you can testify about this, all the married people? When you get married, it's just, it's normal. It's life. You can't imagine going back to being single. Okay? For those of you single, marriage is great. But this is not what I'm going to talk about. This is not the gift in the box. Sorry. We're going to, hopefully this term or the semester somewhere, we're going to do a relationship seminar and we're going to talk about all these nice things. Okay? I love marriage. I have a passion for marriages, but you know, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, for me it's a picture of marriage where once you are married, it all makes sense. All your questions gets answered and it's great. But before the time you have so many questions and how is it gonna work and what are we gonna do with our money, and you know, I can't go into that now, I would love to, but in any case, just say to yourself, if you have many questions about this topic, about baptism in the Holy Spirit, once you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, things start making sense. So don't sit here and think, oh, no, I just want to run away now because this is freaky. I know what she's going to get to and I'm just going to run away now. All these answers to all your questions. So just hold on to your seat. Acts 2 verse 1 to 4. Let's go to that scripture. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire. I think all of you know the scripture. And one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, even though many of us are familiar with the scripture, many people think it happened way back then, and that was for that time, and now the Holy Spirit has been poured out, and that's it. But I just want to say that it definitely is still for today. Okay, many of you can testify about that. And they said the scripture says they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. And I just want to explain to you quickly, in a couple of minutes, the whole thing about speaking in another tongue that you don't understand, you can't figure it out. You can't now analytically reason this whole thing up to a point where you say, now I understand it. Okay? I want to take you to a few scriptures in 1 Corinthians 14. And this is the part of the manual that many people either don't read, the manual of this gift, that you don't read or you don't understand. And I want to show you a few things in this manual that is so important about the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. It's the Apostle Paul speaking. It's a letter written to a church in Corinth. And they had many questions and there were many things happening in that church with regard to the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul specifically brought a lot of light and guidance with regards to this whole thing. And he said, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." So this, the tongues that the Apostle Paul, that he was referring to in 1 Corinthians 14, is a prayer language. If you read in 1 Corinthians 12, you'll find 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. But in the tongues that specifically that it refers to in 1 Corinthians 14 is a prayer language that is available to all of us, where you can pray to the Father in a language you don't understand, but it's a direct connection with God. And I'm telling you, my whole life changed when it happened to me. And it's as I say, it's like marriage. You don't understand everything up until the day you get married, and then it all just feels normal. Verse 14 and 15 in 1 Corinthians 14. "For if I pray in a tongue," still the Apostle Paul speaking, "my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. So there's a place for both. I will sing with the spirit, and I also sing with the understanding. Verse 39, "Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not," listen to this, "do not forbid to speak with tongues." And there's so many things I can say to you tonight, but I just want to emphasize that there's answers to all your questions. And I'm not going to be able to answer everything tonight, but this prayer language is something that edifies you. And the Bible says we need to pray without ceasing. So how do you pray without ceasing? I mean, Andre always says, you know, after 5 minutes you've prayed for your grandmother and your dog and that's it. Now God, what now? Now you either fall asleep or you get bored or you don't know what to do. You feel you should be praying. It's not possible for us to pray without ceasing, without this prayer language. And this is what the gift is all about, because God knew that in our mother tongue, we can only do so much in terms of praying, in terms of connecting with Him. We can only do so much. So He left us this gift. It's like a tool He's given us to make our lives easier, to really make it easy for us to connect with Him, to hear His voice. And maybe you think, but why do we really need to pray in tongues? Because to be baptized in the Holy Spirit is not a prerequisite for going to heaven. I just want to say that you are born again and you're going to heaven when you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. So please don't get confused. This is something additional to salvation, which I believe is part of the whole birthing process of a spiritual baby, which is very important. But I want to explain it to you like this. How many of you have ever tried to get fit in the natural? Hopefully all of you. Well, is it easy to get fit? Not. Okay, but once you are fit, once you are really fit, what is it then easy? Do you enjoy it then, Hanley? Hanley's always fit. You see, that's a problem. So she doesn't understand this example. Once you get fit, it's wonderful to exercise. You want to go and exercise. And the amazing thing is you want to eat healthy. You want to live a healthy lifestyle. It's in a sense, a natural outflow from getting fit. Would you agree with me? Not. Do you agree with me? Okay, Andre and I definitely experience the moment we get fit. Not even fit, eh? I won't say I'm fit. The moment we just like do a little bit of exercise, that desire to not drink Coke and eat chips and all those nonsense, that is not part of Hanley's vocabulary even. You know, it disappears because you want to drink water all of a sudden. You want to live a healthy lifestyle. So why do we need to pray in tongues? We need to get fit spiritually. So baptism in the Holy Spirit is almost like God giving you gym membership for life. I mean, how cool is that? For life. But now praying in the Spirit is putting on your tackies, getting, you know, to the gym, getting onto the treadmill or the bicycle or whatever you do, or, you know. Vian is my weights. I don't do weights in gym because I lift 11 kilogram. I do like weights, eh? Every day of my life. Lift him from the cot, put him in the cot in any case. But praying in the Spirit is putting on your spiritual tackies and get to the gym. And the thing is, when you get fit spiritually, you want to read the word. It's like Dane's testimony, eh? He said he wanted to read the word. It's something, it's almost an automatic result of getting fit in the Spirit. You want to read the word. Now, all of a sudden, to read the Bible is not such a big effort anymore because, you know, you want to get a proper good diet. You don't just want to watch television and movies and watch nonsense all the time because you spiritually fit. So you want to get a proper diet. Only you like this, eh? Sorry, I'm not picking on you. So I really want to encourage you, you know. It's as if something in your whole spiritual life changes when you get fit. And the way we get fit in the Spirit is to pray in this prayer language that is available to all of us. So I want to encourage you, for all of you who have been prayed for and who have received this language. You know, I remember when I still worked in Stellenbosch, I'm in the habit of often, most of the times when I drive in my car to pray in this language that God has given me, you know, and then I get comments from my colleagues. Say, Sunika, why do you talk to yourself when you drive in the car? Or they say, Sunika, I watch you. Do you sing all the way from home to work? And then I just like, you know, not comment on that. But, you know, it's something you need to, whenever you get the opportunity, and driving in the car is a good time, you know. When you're in the gym, it's a good time. When you or doing any exercise, it's a good time. Any time is a good time because the Apostle Paul says, pray without ceasing. We need to pray all the time. But whenever you have opportunity, and often we keep it to certain times, we think, oh no, we can maybe pray in church, or we can maybe pray when you have your time with God. But the idea is we should pray all the time in this prayer language that God has given us. And the result of getting fit in the Spirit, I just want to show this to you. For those of you who heard my sermon a month ago, where I said, you know, we need to, you remember Luke doing a trust fall? You remember that in Dane's arms? And I said we need to find that place of rest where we trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. And I can testify, you know, that evening God spoke to me and said, Sonika, I want you to more diligently now pray and use this gift I've given you. And I feel a difference in my life. I feel definitely more at peace. It's as if I've entered that place of rest, that place of trust, more easily. Because sometimes it's an effort. I mean, how do you trust in the Lord? How do you do this trustful? But when I started just actively, more actively praying in the Spirit again since a month ago, it's just easier for me. I definitely entered into a place where I'm more at peace. Another result of getting fit in the Spirit is we become like a fountain. And that is an amazing thing. And I want to take you to a scripture, John 4, verse 13 and 14. It was Jesus speaking to a woman. And the woman at the well, that whole story, I think many of you would know that. But he said to her, whoever drinks of this water, it was a natural well where they would get water from, Well, thirst again. I mean, it makes sense, eh? If you're going to drink water now, you need water tomorrow, you need liquids every day of your life. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life. So, I mean, many times people say, I feel empty. I mean, I think all of you can relate with it. Often we feel empty. You feel, I have nothing to give. I have nothing to give. I don't even know where to start. But to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to pray in this language, this prayer language, that where you speak mysteries, where it edifies yourself, you become like a fountain. It bubbles. It's like something that bubbles inside of you, and you can't get to a place where you are empty. Jesus says you will never thirst again. And I mean, I often also feel empty. And then I know, when I go back, I see that I've neglected this gift. I've neglected this something, this relationship with the Holy Spirit that God has given to me. And I just want to emphasize, it's not only about praying in tongues. We need to walk with the Holy Spirit. We need to walk in a relationship with Him. Okay, we know many people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, who prayed in tongues, who are not serving God anymore. So it's not the defining factor. That's not a ticket for persevering until the end. But it's definitely going to make this race easier. I mean, imagine doing the Comrades Unfit. Imagine just playing a squash game unfit. For those of you who play squash, you feel it. I mean, we go through the spiritual life unfit. And then we can't understand why everything is like aching, and you know, you're just not getting there. But we're not spiritually fit. So this whole race, because this is not a sprint, eh? We need to endure until the end. And we can't be unfit. We're not gonna make it. We're not gonna make it. And as I say, this is not a ticket to do this race until the end, but it definitely you're going to be in a better position. I'm telling you, to run this race until the end. And I just can't imagine my life without the Holy Spirit. Something else is we hear God's voice. We hear God's voice. I mean, all of us want to hear God's voice. Hey, we want to know. We want to tap into God's counsel, His wisdom, His... We want to know, God, what should I do in this situation? And often we feel we don't hear God's voice. This is a definite link or a help for us to connect with God and to hear His voice. And then it makes us ready for battle. The last one. I mean, there's many, many things that we can... There's many things, many, many, many benefits, but it makes us ready for battle. Monique, if you can just go to the next slide. In Ephesians 6, and I know Andre has spoken about this to many of you the last, same 5-6 weeks. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. I mean, what he preached on last Sunday as well. You know, our battle is not against your colleague at work or the teacher that you don't, you know, get along with. Or the battle is not against your wife or your husband or your mother or your father or difficult relationships. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the powers and the principalities in the air. Go and read Ephesians 6. And this gift of the Holy Spirit, it prepares us for battle. You know, all that scripture in Zechariah 4 verse 6, it says, it's not by might and it's nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. And I think often, we all know the scripture and we quote it easily because it's relatively easy to remember. But do we really understand what it means? It's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord. It prepares us this gift, and praying in this prayer language, it gets you ready for battle. Because it's not we are in a constant battle because the devil is not happy, you know, with whatever God wants to do in your life is not happy. And it gets you to a place where you can put on your armor, where you can say, I'm ready for this battle. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? I'm going to end off and then I'm going to ask two people just to share quickly. But I want to take you to one last scripture. To receive the Holy Spirit, we need to trust in the Lord. And I want to come back to my sermon of a month ago for those of you who were here when Luke did the trust fall, you know, he fell and he took a risk. He took a risk. And this is something we receive in faith. You're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to understand everything, unfortunately, because this is not something you can figure out with your mind. But you need to take that step. It's like a small baby step in faith and say, God, I trust you. And I want to take you to a scripture that will just give you lots of peace about the risk you need to take. For those of you who haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's Luke 11, verse 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Or seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Also very familiar. We all know this. And then the scripture goes on to say that if a son asks you for bread, for any father among you, will he give him a stone? For those of you who have children. Or a scorpion. I mean, if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? I mean, how ridiculous. If Jan asks me for a piece of bread, I'm not going to give him a scorpion. I mean, how ridiculous. But in any case, we often think, you know, God, if we ask him for something good, he's now going to give us something bad. And the scripture says, if you then being evil, interesting, compared to God, we are evil, eh? The word of God says our hearts are desperately wicked. But in any case, if you being evil who know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give, there's it again, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more, if we know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Holy Heavenly Father give good gifts, give the Holy Spirit? So I want to ask Rosalda, just to come and share quickly how she experienced this whole thing. She received this gift. She opened it. She read the manual. And I just wanted to share quickly of how she experienced this gift. Thanks.
A lot of things have changed in my life since a few years ago when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to focus on one of them because I can't go into all of them. I just want to start off by saying, like, if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are scared of it because, like, people fall down and it's just weird, I just want to, like, remind you that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he will just go as far as you allow him to. And, yeah, if you're really scared of that, I'm sure he won't do that. And yeah, that before I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I was very fearful, especially at night, this abnormal fear just when I went to bed. And I used to, like, pray a lot, and the fear just wouldn't go away, just so much fear. And then a day it would be gone again. And I remember after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I received the gift of tongues as well. And yeah, it was just like this key given to me. And at night when I was scared, I would just start by praying in tongues and would just, like, as if I just entered the throne room of God. It was just so easy through that. And then this fear would just disappear. It was just so great. And there was one thing I wanted to add. Oh, yes. Spark. Also, before I got baptized, I had this desire to talk to God, and I used to try and try, but it was as if that feeling, like praying against the roof, just like I just like I didn't reach God. I just didn't experience in that way. And then after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, it was just like it in the back of my mind. It's just always communicating with God. It's just like this constant, that fountain which Sonika talked about. It's just like this bubbling thing that can't stop. And it's amazing. It's like the Afrikaans song, "Dit borrel in my want ek is so bly." It's really like that. Just going on. Yeah, so it's mine.
Thanks, Griselda. I just want to ask Stein as well. And I know all of you have stories, but I just wanted them to share a little bit. And for those of you who heard Dane's testimony, I mean, that's amazing. But I know all of us experience it in a different way. And before Stein speaks, I really just want to encourage you, for those of you who have been prayed for baptism in the Holy Spirit, but maybe you haven't received this prayer language yet. And I've been praying now for weeks, and this last week especially, and I'm trusting the Lord. And there's many, many people praying tonight, you know, that you will receive that and it will be a blessing to you. That it will be like a gift. So I just want to ask Stein as well just to share his experience with you.
Thanks a lot. First of all, from the Free State, so English doesn't come as naturally as most of you. Back there, we usually only use it for self-defense, but just... After what Sonika shared and Griselda, I think it's easy just to echo. A lot of things is really what's happened in my life. What happened to me, we were at one of the foundations on a Sunday morning, so a bit of advertising for that as well. And Andre called us forward to get baptized in the Holy Spirit, which was sort of a funny concept for me up to that stage, and never thought about it a lot. But I got baptized, and next day, had a bit more motivation, got up a bit earlier, did my little special time and read the word. Because I travel a lot, I'm a property valuer, and I was on my way back to Port St. John's to go see a property there. And just outside of Mthatha, I was listening to some gospel music, you know, going at it and realizing that I'm not really singing the words of the songs anymore. It's something different coming out of my mouth. And I turned the radio down, and it just kept going and kept going. And I didn't really know what it was or how to control it. And I was actually sort of scared to stop because I didn't know how to start again. And for hour and a half there, it just kept on going and kept on going. And I realized, well, I have to stop and get out of the car and have to meet the client and go through the building and all of that. So I went through the whole thing and saw the building and had the whole meeting. And on the way back, I got a bit of water because my mouth was dry from speaking all the time all the way there. And I just put on music again and started praying. And there was this absolute confirmation of everything that you've heard, everything that you've learned. Everything is said, it's true. There's nobody that can argue that with you. There's nobody that can say, but what about this, what about that? It's the biggest confirmation in my life of anything. So in any event, I started there again, and for the 3.5 hours back, I was going at it all the way to the house and stopped, and I told my wife, guess what just happened to me? And it sort of just happened. I'm really lucky that... I was chosen, and it's really like Sonika said, it's a gift. I'm not even one of the people that was really looking for it and prayed for it for months and was really had a hunger for it. It happened. And well, to say what's changed after that, I asked my wife what's changed, and she said, well, I sort of calmed down a bit afterwards. So I don't know what she means by that, but maybe it's because when she asked me now what I'm thinking about, it's not 40 things anymore. It's just about 12 or 14. But I think for me, the biggest thing is just that confirmation. If I spend time in the Word, it really makes sense. It connects. Everything you read has a new meaning. It falls together. It's really that utmost confirmation of what you're busy with, it's true. It is there and it is real. You don't have to look for answers. You don't have to motivate why. Or if you look at how the world tried to motivate who was Jesus, or who is God, or what is real, or what is not real. That's the confirmation that all of that is real. And that sort of puts confidence in you in believing all the rest of it. Because if the scriptures that Sonika shared with us, if that is real on that kind of level, then everything else must also be real. And then to me, it just made it much easier to start speaking about God, to share about God, to agree with people that believe in God. That is actually the main point, is just that confirmation that it is real. And that was my experience on it.
I'm just going to quickly, in 1 minute, share my experience with you. I was 16 years old. I committed my life to God when I was 13, more or less. And at 16, somebody prayed for me for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm a very analytical person, you know, so I couldn't figure this whole thing out. And I only received like 3 sounds. And I couldn't figure this out. And it was only 3 sounds, and I was praying these 3 sounds over and over and over. And I said to God, this is not a language. Because where's the verbs and the nouns and all those things? I said, God, no, this can't be real. You know, and the Lord just said to me, Sonika, this is different. This is really different to anything you've ever experienced. And I just realized I need to keep on praying these 3 sounds, which I did, and it became more and more and more. And the 3 things that changed in my life that I definitely can remember is I often doubted that maybe I'm not going to heaven. The devil really attacked me in that area, and all of a sudden that doubt disappeared. I never ever, after that experience, doubted again that I'm going to heaven. And for me, it was amazing because I would lie awake at night. Then the devil comes to me and says, Sonika, are you really going to heaven? Then I start stressing, you know. So that changed. The Bible, like Stain said, all of a sudden the Bible started making sense to me. I would read the same scripture I've read many times, and all of a sudden, wow, was this in the Bible all the time? And the third thing is God gave me boldness. I'm very shy, actually. I don't think I would have done what I do tonight if I wasn't baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you look at the life of Peter, he denied Jesus. He ran away. And after he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you read in the book of Acts, he had the sermon. And 3,000 men committed their life to God. I mean, imagine that. Imagine running away when Jesus was crucified, and then after you get this gift, you preach, and thousands of people give their life to the Lord. So I just want to encourage you. You know, this is not about personality. It's not about personality. It's a gift that God wants. Even in the Old Testament, God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. It's not an exclusive thing. It's a gift for all of us. And we would love tonight, I'm really trusting the Lord for just special things to happen tonight. So I want to minister a song to you. So I'm going to give over to my husband. I just want to minister a song to you. You can just, I'm not necessarily going to put on the words, but if you catch it, you can sing it with me. It's just all about the where Jesus taught us how to pray. What is that called again? The Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer. The very last portion of the Lord's Prayer, it says, all the kingdom and glory and power belongs to God. And it's just a song about that I just want to minister to you. And I just want to... You know, whatever God wants to do tonight, I really believe He wants to empower you with this gift. And for those of you who still struggle to pray in the Holy Spirit, I really trust the Lord that tonight it will just be a release. We're not going to strive. We're not going to perform. We're not going to do anything funny. but I pray that God will do something in your heart and in your spirit tonight, and that He will meet you exactly where you are at. Not where I'm at or Andre's at, but where you are at. And God knows you. He knows your background. He knows your childhood. He knows everything about you. He knows your current challenges. He knows everything. And I trust the Lord He will meet you right there where you are and empower you with this gift that's going to change your life forever. Amen.
Just something to add. It's always good to get my wife to share controversial things, because you just wouldn't think that somebody like she would be into the speaking in tongues. She's very conservative, grew up in a Dutch Reformed family, a mom was still playing the organ in church, her grandfather was a dominie, and God really changed her life when she was filled with the Spirit. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is called, the word baptism means immersion. Immersion. What's immersion is going under the water. And so some of us here, you do pray in tongues, or you do pray in the Spirit, but you only put your toes into the Spirit. Immersion is to go under. And so I want to speak to those of us here that do have experienced the baptism of the Spirit. I want to challenge you that you have not been completely immersed in the Spirit. You might have put your toes in. And so maybe you had a few experiences a little bit. But I'm telling you, we are not close to what God wants us to experience. And so that is part of what we want to do tonight. I'm trusting that each and every one of us would come to the river of the Spirit and not just put in our toes, not go knee deep, not waist deep, but to dive in and to surrender to an awesome God who wants to transform you. What is it to be immersed? It's your whole personality, your whole being immersed in the power of God's Spirit. It is life-changing. Okay, so I just want us to all open our hearts to this truth, to be changed by God Himself, who is here right now through His Holy Spirit. So let's close our eyes. That's just to focus on God. And just come, just see that river of the Spirit. Let's break out of our dead religion and come to a living God who wants to transform us.